The following program is a JWC Media production for WrestleChat.net and CLW83.com. This edition of the NAWC is uncensored. For over 6 years, and nearly 300 episodes, the North American Wrestling Connection, the NAWC, wrestling's recognized leader in talk entertainment. And now, CLW83.com and WrestleChat.net present the NAWC, bringing you great wrestling discussion since 2007. Sanctioned by...
Ladies and gentlemen, UFC President Dana White.
Okay, Dana, who would win in a fight, you or Vince McMahon?
Vince McMahon challenged me to a fight. Vince McMahon is Regis's age. I'm not going to fight Vince McMahon.
Who the hell do you think you are?
Okay, complete this sentence. The best thing about WWE is...
I don't hate the WWE. I think the WWE is one of those things that you watch until you're like 14 and then you move over to real fighting.
Okay, great.
It's still real to me, damn it.
Oh, it's going to be very, very real tonight. And anybody under the age of 14 probably should not be listening. I should be calling the show the North American Wrestling Connection, as sponsored by WrestleChat.net. But tonight it is the New York Wrestling Connection, because that's all I got on here. And I'm just going to give all of you boys a proper introduction, if I still got it going. Don't tell me I closed it. Don't tell me I fucking closed it. No, I did not. Just to set the mood. So let me introduce you to the New Yorkers that I have brought into the enclave tonight. Let's start with our senior legal correspondent, Jason Block.
Good evening, and how the fuck are you all, man? Because I am ready to unload, and the funny thing is that none of the WWE stuff upset me. Something we're going to talk about later on upset me even more. We'll get to that.
And somebody who was tailor-made for this show, our resident wrestler in training, Gene motherfucking Aguilera.
Dana White, the fuck, man? I actually am a UFC fan. Go fuck yourself.
And making his... vaunted return from eternity and probably beating up the kids that stole his cardboard box in the first place. Ladies and gentlemen, the living laugh track, Tom fucking Delgado.
Ladies, gentlemen, it has been way, way too long. I've been so far out of the game that, well, my mind is fucked. And Dana White, I'm going to echo the same sentiments as John fucking motherfucking Aguilera went with. Go fuck yourself and get fucked. Good evening.
Now, to paraphrase a quote from a famous movie actor, who in the blue hell are you?
Hold on. To actually give Dana White a little credit, you know as well as I do that Dana and Vince are buddies. They are, okay? And they have worked together. So this could be all a little bit of a shoot. I think Dana should be worried about the pay-per-view record that was broken this weekend. by Mayweather Canelo. Do you not guys know about this?
Oh yeah, I watched it.
2.2 million pay-per-view buys.
Get to work, Vince.
What?
I said get to work, Vince. Get to work, Dana.
Exactly. 2.2.
I think Dana White's doing just fine.
Yes. And as I said, 2.2 million with a gross of about 150 million, okay?
You know what?
No,
you know what? I wouldn't mind.
I would.
Okay, now for the audience who cannot read the chat room.
Oh, sorry.
Dana White versus Vince McMahon at WrestleMania 30.
No,
it's the battle of the promoters.
Aren't we going to have enough problems with a potential Triple H Vince McMahon match over control of the company?
Oh God, yes, that's right. Meanwhile,
we're going to have wrestlers complaining about the fact that that we've got 60-year-olds in the main event.
All right, fuck you.
So you know, let's cut that out.
Yeah. People were complaining about Sunday night's pay per view. But
we gotta talk about this. Night of Champions.
Oh, what? You mean Night of Heels?
But Night of Victories and what the fuck just happened? I mean, it was. Don't get me wrong. It was a good pay per view, and it ended on a very positive, if not questionable, note.
I mean, it wasn't terrible. But I'm not overly impressed by any Night of Champions pay-per-views.
So, just to run through it real quick. Absolutely nobody got the main event right. And I think that was...
One person got it right.
No, Carl doesn't get the point for the no contest because there was a clear winner.
Well,
that's right.
Until the dusty finish happened.
Right, but... Brian won the belt. So no, Carl does not get any points.
I honestly thought they would extend it to Survivor Series. So much for the slow burn angle.
It's all right. The chase
is still happening, but not. I mean, the Corporation H is not off to a dominant start.
So, let's see. A few people got RVD. Over Del Rio by disqualification. One of them was myself. Let's see, Ambrose retaining over Ziggler. Shield retaining over the primetime players who take care of the real Americans who are now the whipping boys of the tag team division, meaning the Usos are finally going to get to move up.
Well, kind of.
AJ retains to the surprise of some of us. And no wild cards qualified.
Oof. Yep.
And before you blow your stack, Gene, Ryback has not been identified as a Paul Heyman guy. And this is coming from a Heyman.
Bullshit. Because he may as well have been after
shirt.
He may as well have
been a Heyman guy.
He may as well have been after Monday. He let your uncle kiss him on the fucking cheek. And also, ew.
Just because you saw a picture of a walrus kissing a gorilla?
No, just because of the look Paul gave him. Just this whole I love you, honey. Look. Just looking up at him. Just almost reverent. And I'm like, dude. The homoerotic tendencies just went up to 11.
The guy's married with two kids. Just
I know, but this whole angle has been like Paul's like the jealous ex-boyfriend. Because it was like, Paul Heyman was the one that dumped CM Punk. And, you know, there's a lot of creepy undertones.
Overtones. Like I said, Ryback has not been formally identified as a Paul Heyman guy.
Well, what else is it going to fucking lead to?
Eventual, but he's not. I've even given you to SmackDown. He's called Ryback his hero. He is called Ryback a savior. But he has not called him a Paul Heyman guy.
And Ryback himself didn't all but confirm it on Monday?
He's just happy that he gets to bully with impunity.
Yeah, but that's the whole reason for being a Heyman guy. To be as big an asshole as possible.
No. I think the alliance has been set up that Ryback needed somebody to help him with his heat because him beating up random people backstage just wasn't working.
Because all he's been getting is Goldberg chants. It's come full circle.
So, I will say that this was a night of predictability for the total points that were available. No one got below a 4.
I'm assuming that would be me.
Actually, no, you did better than that. Tyler and Ethan are at the very bottom.
Sucks to be those two.
Statboy, Muckamuck, Jim, and Shano with 5. Jason, Chris Waters, and 4th at 6.
Damn, not enough.
So, the belt I refuse to put in abeyance. I learned a new word this week. Thank you, Triple H. Huh? So, for Night of Champions, the winners and co-champions of the NAWC Fizzleweight belt are Gene fucking Aguilera and Nikki fucking Heyman.
Whoa! Nice!
It's going to be awkward wearing this.
Please, we've just met.
Right, no, so, Waters. No.
So, okay. That's, anyway.
Okay, so, you know, seeing the fast count, going into Raw, we all knew, and yes, I shouted it in a movie theater, Dusty Finish.
Yep.
Thank you, Bitstrips.
Yes, and by the way, this was about as obvious as a fart in church. I mean, seriously, there was no way, if you're going to keep the chase going, the belt was not going to be stripped. The question was how, and how they did it was brilliant. Oh, I loved it. Really did. The only good thing I liked about Raw. Well, second.
Well, it's Tom, I'll explain it to you, sir. It was when Scott Armstrong actually got bumped during the WWE title match at Night of Champions, and John Cone took over for a few minutes. Armstrong actually got back in the ring. My God, a referee recovered from a ref bump?
That's a shock.
So, madness!
So, yeah, he gets back in the ring, tells Cone he's okay, and continues the match. Brian pins Orton, and Armstrong knocks out a fast 3 count, a very obvious fast 3 count, but better demonstrated on Monday night through the virtue of instant replay and side-by-side comparisons thanks to the evil boss, Dr. Levesque.
So we finally get instant replay, and it works directly in the heel's favor.
Yes.
That's pretty cool.
And Tom, it gets worse.
Oh, boy.
It gets worse. The doc thinks and is perpetuating the theory that Armstrong and Brian were conspiring to do this.
Oh, jeez.
Because Armstrong says they got us, Daniel.
And so the supposedly by the good graces of the evil boss, Daniel Bryan still has a job and a rematch. Scott Armstrong got shown the door.
Well, actually, you could say Bryan has a legal right to a rematch.
True. True. But to this, Tom, I'm going to just tell you, I know where the fix is on this. Can you see the fix, Tom?
I kind of see the fix, but again, I've been out of the loop for a while. I'm starting now trying to get back into it. And okay. I like what they're doing, though. I like how they're keeping up the chase. I said in one of the groups that we have, like one of the NAWC group that we have, that I wasn't too crazy about this originally, but I'm coming around. I'm really coming around since the last time I've watched. I've heard how the shows have gone, and I like how they're keeping up the chase and having Triple H play the, oh, trust me, kid, it's the best for business card.
Oh, yeah.
You know,
what do you got, Gene?
It's kind of the opposite with me. I mean, at first, I liked the possibility of a corporation angle, but, you know, done right. But as the weeks go by, I just started to lose interest in it. It's just not that interesting to me, but I like that at least they're pushing Danielson because, you know, they have to do something while Cena's injured.
Well, and here you go, Gene. Did you notice when the doc fired Armstrong, that A, Scott Armstrong didn't protest.
Well, he kind of did.
But half-heartedly, half-assedly. Because then the doc said, I'll take care of you.
So basically, Scott Armstrong's going to be chilling in a private island.
Or Scott Armstrong just got a hell of a severance package for giving us a good excuse to not let Bryan wear the belt.
By the way, side plates were not what I was expecting for the new for Daniel Bryan's WWE title.
The bright red ones?
Yeah, I didn't expect it to be so bright.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Well,
no, I expected yes. Absolutely. Yeah. I just didn't expect it to like be fucking red all over the place.
I've seen one Photoshop where they actually did it in the black and gold, and it looks better.
Yeah, and if they were gonna use a color, just use maroon.
Because the man is a maroon anyway. But to this, Jason, the mixed emotions about the corporation angle and this screw job got the phones blown up at Cox Cable.
Yes. Here's what happened. There were a few people, not many, who said, you know what? I didn't get the result I wanted. Therefore, I want a refund. And you know what Cox Cable did? They gave it to him. Really? How dumb is that?
I didn't know you could do that. I mean, is that all it takes? Just roll up. If that's all it took, then why do Smarks have such a problem paying for pay-per-views? They could just get their money back if they don't like it, which they don't.
They never do. To be
essentially,
honest,
they'd still get it for free.
I got mine for $15, and long story short, they essentially didn't want me to see this pay-per-view. So I have a funny feeling my Uncle Paul was trying to keep me from giving away the ending. Long story short, I had to argue with Dish Network to let me watch this show. And one of them told me, this is not refundable. And I said, I understand that. But you should at least be interested in these little green rectangles called money. But because of that, I think WWE, and I noticed this on SmackDown, there's a little bit of backpedaling going on. The fact that Hunter is actually kind of steering back towards the middle, and the fact that, you know, there's been some positives put through. He wasn't even mad at the chaos that ended Raw.
Again, shown by the wonderful. Oh, by the way, if you really want to get a true vision of this angle, watch the WWE weekly corporate interview with Triple H and Michael Cole. Absolutely effing genius.
How dare you censor yourself on this New York show?
All right, it's fucking genius. Because what it is that you watch this and you're like, he believes his own bullshit. He just truly really does.
It is a trademark of every boss.
And that's what you have to do as a wrestler or performer, whatever the fuck they call themselves on TV.
Well, and in fact, he even addressed it. You know, there were going to be consequences.
Whether you're a heel or a face, you always have to believe that you're right. Always. You have to believe your own shit.
Yes.
Because otherwise, who else is going to buy it?
Yeah. If you don't believe it, nobody else is going to believe it. And Hunter is playing this to an absolute T.
I mean, we always knew he was a great politician. He's just letting it out.
Well, now he's actually using it constructively.
Putting away the shovel.
No, he's just brandishing it.
Yes, he should. Like I said, he should have that Triple H belt. Yes, okay, with the shovels, because what he's doing, Nikki, you explain it better than anybody.
Because I thought you hated that belt, Jason.
No. Okay, I used to hate that belt, but after watching the way he is just playing, because I don't consider it a barrel. It's the burial shovel. I call it the shoveling the shit shovel. Okay, because that's what he's doing. He's shoveling it, and everyone is eating it up because it's corporate bullshit. And he's just like, you know, he's like, as you said, Nikki. Okay, this is what they think of me. Let's amp it up to about 20. That's it.
Yeah. Hunter's just taking the persona that has been perpetuated by the internet since 2003.
Well, even before that.
Or even a little before that. Maybe
probably around probably around
2002?
No, actually I would say around 2000 because April 2000 because that was the first time that a heel had ever walked out of WrestleMania still champion.
Okay, I'll go with that. So this this whole thing, Hunter has decided that he is going to he's read all of our bullshit, and he's feeding it back to us, and it's pissing people off, which means it's working, which means he's doing it right. Now, I will give credit where credit is due. Gene, I agree with you that the multiple weeks of the same ending did kind of prompt the bench clearing brawl at the end of Raw. And what I saw as backpedaling on SmackDown.
I will say I thought the whole locker room showing solidarity to Brian was done too early, because if they really wanted to build it to a Survivor Series, they would have had it come to a head like around the build up for Survivor Series. If it's just immediately, it's like, where else do you go?
Well, Gene, they had to at least give the good guys something, because we had seen the bad guys win the same way for the past 6 or 7 shows, like you had said earlier.
Right. But I mean.
So we had to change it up a little bit. You asked to have it changed up, so we fucking changed it up for you.
Yeah, we had it fucking changed up, but now what the fuck are we going to do?
Well, according on SmackDown, Vicky Guerrero just basically said, you know what? We're going to have an 11-on-3 handicap match. Everybody who was involved in the brawl versus the Shield. And that included, let me see if I can remember everybody here. Rob Van Dam, the Usos, the Primetime Players, Kofi Ziggler, damn it, and a bunch of others. Be right back.
That's Zack Ryder telling you that you forgot him, bro.
Also, for the record, Jim, go fuck yourself.
Whoa.
Yes. Just because I do not want to have my cake and eat it too. Okay?
That's what she said.
Uh huh.
Damn it, now I want cake. Yes, you pimp.
And we got Tom going, so now I know I'm on the right track.
Yeah, but you know, and so let's see. The Primetime Players get squashed. Kofi gets squashed. Ziggler fights back, sort of. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
RVD's about to get the upper hand, and Triple H says, comes out and says, if you could play a cue here.
I'm sorry. where did it go?
I admit it. I'm an asshole.
And stops the match. Okay. So, and then he pulls Vicky in and says, what the fuck are you doing? Pretty much. What?
And Vicky's like, I was doing what was best for business.
Dumbass, that's not best for business. This is. Okay.
But, okay, go ahead.
You're feeding Ryder and
Justin Gabriel.
Gabriel to, I forget
who. The Wyatts.
The Wyatts who crushed them. But, in the main event, Bryan and the Usos beat the Shield. Interesting.
Now.
Seriously, though, 11-on-3. What the fuck?
Okay, well, the thing is that they did it gauntlet style, so and allowed the Shield to be in the ring at all times. So it was actually, you know, it was in the favor of the Shield.
So it was like sent one by one to the Lion's Den.
Pretty much. And Rob, since they'd already been through five fights, Rob had the upper hand and was ready to hit the frog splash on Ambrose, where Hunter decides that very moment is when he's going to come out and stop the match. Now, it can be explained away, which is what corporate bullshit is, how corporate bullshit works, that, you know, it took it, you know, when he found out about it, it took him time to get, you know, to get out there and stop it. Dress down Vicky verbally. I don't want that image in my head, thank you. And, you know, took care, he did his thing with the rest of the guys, including going to see Zen Meister, apologizing for breaking up the match when he did, and in return, throw him a bone and tell him that he can have his rematch with Del Rio at Battleground. To which then Del Rio voices his displeasure by beating the crap out of Zen Meister in the trainer's room. But that's okay.
To the surprise of nobody, and also probably didn't really get much heat. Let's face it, Del Rio is anti-heat.
Well, yeah, but here's the thing. RVD is supposedly taking some time off after this pay-per-view. And the returning Rey Mysterio is going to be supposedly RVD, Ricardo's latest thing.
Well, Rob's taking some time off because he signed a short deal, and I think they're going to sit down and try to work out something longer. Mm-hmm. Rob didn't go into any details with me about it, and he doesn't like discussing stuff like that, so I'm cool with it. But unlike TNA, and yes, I'm going to have to talk about them, and you know, go ahead.
You know what? This is the NYWC, all right? Right
yeah.
now.
Yeah.
So we don't have to talk about fucking TNA, because fuck TNA. I'm tired of wasting my goddamn time.
No. Excuse me, Gene, you could talk about TNA. We have to, actually, because there were a couple of more contracts expired, and we had the stupid-ass heel turn this week. There are a couple of things we do have to talk about, and the fact that TNA might have said, you know what, this whole road thing, not a good idea.
How long did that take them, and how much money did they spend?
Yeah, exactly.
Now,
probably
Gene,
like 4 months on the road.
Yeah, at 600K a show, and maybe breaking even about a third of the time.
Painful.
So now, I know you don't want to talk to TNA, Gene, but let me talk about it in some positive terms. Two more people escaped.
Who got lucky?
Anderson and Mickey James. No, not together. But their contracts are expired and they are out the door.
Cool. I always liked Mickey James. Anderson, I've heard a lot of rumors about Anderson that I don't particularly like.
Mind you, Orton perpetuated one of those rumors.
There was this rumor going around, I don't know if it's true or not, that I hope it's not true. It's probably not true, but if it is, wow. That Anderson purposely makes it so that his moves actually hurt people so that they look real.
I don't know. But he apparently did something real enough to Orton at the 5-on-5 fuck you basketball match.
Oh, yes.
Which, I'm sorry, was still fun to watch. I don't, you know, I circumstances be damned, it was fun. That was Kennedy's last match in the Fed. And apparently he hurt Orton, and Orton bitched, and Kennedy got canned.
But when Orton breaks his collarbone against both Hunter and Edge, nothing happens.
Just makes you wonder. So
that shows you how high up he was on the totem pole. If you know
yeah.
what I mean.
Who, Edge?
No.
And Hunter, thank you.
Well, Hunter goes without saying.
Yeah.
I guess it comes down to whoever made more money for the company.
And while Kennedy was making some money for the company, he apparently wasn't making too many friends backstage. So never say never, but I don't see him getting picked up right away. Tom, with a lot of what's going on with the Divas division, not only on WWE, but in NXT, would Mickey James be a good fit right now?
I think I'm actually on the fence on this one because I don't watch TNA. I've got no time for garbage, what little time I have as it is. Mm-hmm. But if you can bring her in, do it. I mean, it never hurts to have an extra capable hand in the Divas division.
Just do us all a favor and keep her away from Nikki Bella.
That's not the matchup I want to see. Jason, Mickey James, AJ Lee, Crazy versus Crazy. Do I have your money yet?
TATFM.
Hey, no, the reason I say that is because we all I think everybody remembers why Mickey left WWE.
No.
She apparently kept getting shit-faced. She was late a few times, and she had some drama with one John Cena.
I thought this was, that sounds more like Eve.
No, no, it was Mickey. Huh. Mickey was Eve before Eve was, well, drunk. I don't want to say cool.
Relevant.
Relevant, yes, okay.
Well, I don't want to say that maybe, either.
Remember, Mickey James left, what, 2 years ago?
Longer than that.
Longer than that, definitely.
But, because first she went out and she tried to do, yeah, there we go, 2008. Because she's been gone a while. She went and she tried to do the country singing thing. That didn't really pan out. So she
She's still doing it.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, she released a full-on album.
Yeah, really, Hardcore Country.
You think they'll actually let her use Hardcore Country in WWE?
No. They'll use that old Mickie James theme she did, whatever it was.
As long as that one hasn't been recycled either.
No, it hasn't yet, actually.
Okay. So, surprisingly. But give me Crazy Stalker Mickey against Crazy Conniving AJ.
Does that mean Mickey's going to start making out with AJ? Because I can get into that.
Me too. Thank you so much.
Damn it.
Look, you knew it was coming.
Yeah.
And speaking of coming.
God.
I smell sausage. Anyway.
Sorry.
No, that's all right. That's all right.
Sorry.
No. You're fine. You're fine. So let's look at this. Okay, we think it's a good idea that they'll pick up Mickey James. I honestly do not think that Kenny Anderson is going to be welcomed back.
No. Nope.
Period.
Oh no.
No, I don't see it happening.
Nope. I don't understand why Matt Morgan, as I was about to say, why Matt Morgan is not in WWE right now. That's shocking to me.
Well, I mean, I think Matt Morgan will probably do better in Japan for now. Because he was doing okay there. But, the last two times they had him, they probably just dicked him around too much. I mean, remember, Matt Morgan.
Not this time at all.
Hunter wouldn't do that to him. And to be honest, I think if Hunter actually made the phone call, I think Morgan would come back.
And, I mean, I really hope they actually use him as Matt Morgan. Because I'm impressed by Matt Morgan. I like Matt Morgan. I am a Matt Morgan fan.
I am too. The way he was... See, that was one of the positive things in the Dixie Carter era. She booked him well as a freaking monster. A really badass monster who should have had the TNA heavyweight title. Should have had it.
Mm-hmm.
He should have had a singles title, period.
Oh, yeah.
He only got two tag belts, maybe. And the second time, it was really just a gimmick for him to keep being a monster heel. And then they lost it to Hall and Nash.
Well, we've got a completely different landscape with WWE now, and that has attracted a few other people back to the E. Nick Dinsmore, known to the casual fan as Eugene, has been accepted back to WWE to work as a trainer.
Bullshit.
No shit.
I didn't think Nick would want to come back.
I didn't think the WWE would want him after his dismal one shot.
Really? Because I think that the WWE kind of just fucked him over from the word go.
Oh no! He was so over as the Eugene thing.
No! From 2004 to 2005, I liked Eugene. I liked the angle they were going with. You know, he was a special kid, but he was also an idiot savant. And he knew all these wrestling moves, and he could take people like fucking Benoit and Triple H to the limit. And then after his injury, they just kind of went nowhere.
Which is kind of what's happening to Ziggler right now. But some of that is, you know, also not only his concussion, but a little foot and mouth syndrome. Then there was an outburst backstage although I think it was more the fact that there's a rematch on the horizon.
You, buddy, what's your name?
Stan.
Oh, see, I just hit Stan.
The artist formerly known as Stan, and better known to some people who were watching WWE in 2007, 2008, might remember Gavin Spears. He's back. They re-signed him, and this is probably why we didn't see Sean, because he found out.
Calm down, Sean. Don't tell me to calm down. Nobody tells me that I don't know controversy. You gotta be kidding me.
I never thought I would get to play those sounds for Mr. Spears. I hear you laughing back there, Tom.
And speaking of old HBK,
yes,
it is.
What are you looking at?
Nothing, Sean. Just put your ball cap back on.
But, showing up on HDTV, we're gonna be bigger, brighter, balder. I mean bolder.
Bolder.
Oh, I need a mirror.
I said cap, Josh. God, get your mind out of the fucking gutter. But in all seriousness. It has come to our attention that Sean will be making a special appearance on Raw this Monday.
And
so who else is surprised that this will have something to do with Daniel Bryan?
Of course, he trained him.
Depends on who you ask. William Regal said the only thing that Shawn Michaels did for Daniel Bryan was steal $3,500 from him.
Actually, ooh, I thought that was Punk.
Is that true?
No, it was Punk that said that.
Oh, I thought Regal said that. Oh, wow. I'm sorry.
No, Regal's a lot classier than that.
That's true. And Punk has every right.
All right, fuck you.
Okay. Jeez.
Damn.
Speaking of Punk, Punk got a week off and put his feet up and was probably laughing his ass off at Paul Heyman just crowing to the world that he is the best in the world, because he had pinned the best in the world.
And it's true. It's true.
That's how it's written in the history books, ladies and gentlemen.
It is.
You must be so proud, Nikki.
I am, actually. I am proud and very amused at the same time.
Yeah. Did we talk about this match yet? I'm sure we mentioned Ryback and Paul, but we didn't talk about the actual match.
We didn't talk about the match in particular, because as we were leading up to it, we all knew that, you know, Paulie was going, you know, most of us were guessing that Paulie was going to find a way, well, Punk was going to find a way to get his hands on my dear Uncle Paul and find some way to get Axel out of there. So Punk makes Axel tap.
Well, who didn't see that coming?
Well, but by the way, that was Axel's second match of the night.
Right, because Hunter, in his infinite wisdom, decided to put him in the opening match against Kofi, which Axel won.
It was a solid match, and they got some time. They were out there for 20 minutes. So, yeah. You know, Axel wouldn't have been at 100% going out there.
When was the last time you had ever seen an Intercontinental title match go past 7 minutes?
Thank you. And so Axel was supposedly going to do all the work and take care of Punk for Paulie, and taps out to the Anaconda Vice. There is a reason why my Uncle Paul was wearing a black tracksuit.
But you know what? You know what though? You didn't mention the beginning of the match. Like when the entrances would come out. Did you see the look on your uncle's face the second Punk's music hit?
Yes, but it wasn't as epic as when Axel was tapping out.
No, no. The most epic thing of the night was Punk walking out to his music, kendo stick in hand, and then he gets a shout out to Cliff Compton. Time to die.
that is a shout out to him.
That was awesome. I thoroughly wish I can use that.
And I was told that was also a shout out to the former Domino, Cliff Compton.
Yeah, that's what I meant.
Yeah.
Shout out to Cliff Compton.
I didn't catch some of it because you kind of went. But that's all right,
fuck you.
Blame the technology. Blame the technology. But yeah, and the supposed beating of my uncle's life,
was a pretty brutal beatdown.
Yes. There were handcuffs involved.
Not in that way, folks.
I know this has been the F-bomb laden show, but we ain't that crazy.
If anyone out there was actually thinking that way, you're fucking sick.
Yeah, I mean, it's a PG. Even the pay-per-views are PG.
Yeah, I mean, not even.
And
the
there's only so far you
could
go
far.
With handcuffs and PG.
There's not even the Attitude Era went this far. Well, actually, you know what? The PG era did go at one, did kind of go over the line with the handcuffs at one point when Orton pseudo raped Stephanie.
Yeah, which, by the way, in continuity, she actually mentioned on Monday night.
Yes.
This is true.
Steph decided to not be a star that night. And tell Orton. And basically tell Orton that they wanted the sociopath of 2009 to come back.
Well,
and I think
this way she could aim it at somebody else and let Orton rape. Never mind.
Oh my god.
Well, no,
all they remember is as they're fighting for freedom and gasping for breath is the scent of baby oil.
Baby oil.
And semen.
So, but yes, this little piece of continuity I'm actually impressed with, because now corporate Stephanie can take this man who scared the shit out of her 4 years ago, turn him around and say, go do that to them now.
Oh god, is he gonna start trying to rape Brie Bella?
Ew. Okay.
At least he didn't say that Orton was going to go rape a dude.
No, no, he's not quite Heidenreich level.
No. Oh, gross. Now, by the way, I got to ask you a question, Nikki, if you will. Can you talk about Mr. Runnels? Because we got, like I said, one of the things that really bothered me, which was, again, blubbering Big Show. But hey.
Pretty much, it's just, you know, what better way to telegraph a Dusty finish than to have Dusty Rhodes and show
yeah
to come by to break the bad news, if you will. Surprisingly, though, those were two separate things. Dusty was being brought on the show to essentially get, you know, to get bullied around by the corporation.
He was propositioned by kings and queens. And then he got his ass beat by the Shield. Well, almost. That metaphor just kind of got away from me.
It's okay. It's okay. It happens, man. I know where you were going.
But I don't know how to do the whole... I don't know what rhymes with pork and beans, okay? Fuck.
It's all right. It's all right.
He got his ass knocked out by Big Show, okay? There. Damn it.
But yeah, it was essentially they, you know. Oh, that no, not drinking pork and beans through a straw.
Man,
though they kept
waters.
they Are they saying that the show dislocated his jaw?
Yeah, something like that. Yes,
from the punch. Okay, because the terminology they were using was a little bit over my head.
Does that mean that Dusty's gonna start speaking normally now?
Oh God, I hope not. But yeah. Oh, hello.
Hey, look who upgraded to iOS 7.
Wow. Okay.
The GM decided to upgrade. Nice of him.
But he still won't spend any money on a better office. A studio.
Well, he did get Tom a new box.
Which promptly got stolen by those goddamn motherfucking teenagers.
I swear I locked that door.
Can I not get a better fucking chair? I am way too hot a commodity to not get a soft chair.
What's talking about right now? Let's see. If these guys have something to bitch about, it's the fact that that Ring of Honor gave away an internet pay-per-view and people still didn't get their money's worth.
I have results for that, but we'll get to that in a minute.
Oh, we're actually covering Ring of Honor now?
Well, every now and again, we talk about other feds besides WWE and, you know, admittedly, resignedly, TNA. Ring of Honor's issues with their iPay-per-view was not their fault, but apparently whoever was doing their streaming, which might have been a blessing in disguise because nobody wanted to see Buff Bagwell wearing a shirt where Colt Cabana wasn't. You can talk about that, but you also have to talk about Sonny. Do I have to?
Yeah, you do.
I have a confession to make.
What's that?
Back when Sonny was getting inducted into the Hall of Fame, I would have nailed her. I don't care.
That's fine.
That's fine, but do you realize how much you would have caught for that?
Look, if everybody else got away clean, then I would too.
Hey, Gene. Preparation what? H.
Oh, gross. Okay.
I'm not bringing Hunter. Look, I'm not bringing Hunter to bed with me, okay?
No, that's Puppet H.
Okay.
I will, however, partake in Nipplage.
That does it.
We're going to break.
Time out. Go to break. Get us out of here. We'll be back in a few minutes. I got to save Tom.
How many websites do you use to get your fix of wrestling news? 3, 4, 5 or more? Do yourself a favor and make that number 1 by going to WrestleChat.net, your pro wrestling news source. Brett Clendaniel and his staff bring you up-to-the-minute wrestling news and views all day, every day. And WrestleChat.net is home to great podcasts like WrestleChat Radio, The Still Real to Us Show, and the North American Wrestling Connection. For the best in wrestling news and views, there's only one site to turn to. WrestleChat.net. WrestleChat. It's where it's at.
Hurricane Sandy left destruction and devastation across the Jersey Shore. Flooding and high winds left many residents without power, without a home, and without hope. With your help, that can all change. Operation Restore Our Shore, in cooperation with the American Red Cross, the Salvation Army, the United Way, and the State of New Jersey Department of Volunteerism, is committed to helping rebuild coastal communities impacted by Hurricane Sandy. To learn more about Operation Restore Our Shore, and to find out how you can help, visit facebook.com/Operation Restore Our Shore.
CLW 83 Network programming is now available on demand through Stitcher Radio. Log on to Stitcher.com. Download and install the free Stitcher Radio app to your iPhone, iPad, or Android device, or log into the site via Facebook. Then search for CLW 83, and you'll be instantly connected to all of your favorite CLW 83 Network programs. The Stitcher Radio app at Stitcher.com, the newest way to tune in to the CLW 83 Network, online, on demand, and on the go.
I actually haven't eaten yet. It's sitting right in front of me.
Oh boy. Chris Palmer eats during the show is brought to you by
Miami Subs. Yep.
No, it's brought to you by whoever the hell makes Hamburger Helper.
would be the guy with the hand. I don't know.
1 pound, 1 pan, 1 tasty meal.
You.
By the way, okay. When did the Hamburger Helper hand go through puberty? Can anybody tip that off on me? Because he's gone through puberty.
Oh,
he's not,
God.
I can't believe you asked that.
No, because he had a voice when we were growing up that was akin to like the Pillsbury Doughboy, and now...
Helper glove went through puberty. Oh my God. Soundbite.
You mother...
That's right.
The BS Big Show, episode 200, coming soon.
The pennant chase is on, and nobody covers baseball like CLW 83 Network's Touch 'Em All. Join Jim Williams and a panel of baseball pundits for analysis and insights on all things Major League Baseball, from the latest news to thought-provoking discussions. If you want to truly cover all the bases on the road to the Fall Classic, you have to Touch 'Em All every week in September and before every round of baseball's postseason this fall on the CLW 83 Network. Tune in.
Back on the North American Wrestling Connection, as sponsored by WrestleChat.net. Nikki Heyman here with an entire Brooklynite crowd, with Jason Block, Gene fucking Aguilera, and the returning Tom Delgado. We had talked briefly about a few things, and one thing that we needed to bring up, and it's going to hurt, and I know it breaks Gene's heart. Sonny. Really, Sonny? Sonny, you're a bitch.
Yeah.
What else is new?
Okay.
No.
This we are doing this on behalf of our sponsors because Sonny decided to dangle a few things, unfortunately, and not her boobs, at dirt sheets just to see if they would pick it up. So she was making shit up.
And like that, you've lost me. You've lost me when she said she was not releasing her boobs.
No. But just here we are. What she said was like, she said she was mugged at a Wawa. Didn't happen. She said that she was adopting Cambodian children. She didn't, you know. But this is what she said, if I may. So my plan worked. Every time I put a status on Facebook, every wrestling website writer copies it and posts it as their status. Well, I guess I got the best of them this time. For the past 2 days, I've been making up the craziest crap just to see if they posted as factual news without checking the facts first. And yep, they did. Isn't it sad that these journalists have no real skills for actual reporting other than copying bogus social media status updates? Reminds me of a couple of years ago when I said one of the TNA knockouts was expecting. Remember that? Yep. Made that one up too to see if they'd run with it. So fans, I'm sorry. I had to include you all on the charade, but I didn't get mugged, nor am I adopting a child from Cambodia. And writers, maybe you'll think twice before you copying my status. It just makes you look gullible and stupid that you jump on things believing you have the newest big scoop when in actuality you have nonsense that just makes you look pathetic. Now, before I say the last sentence, Nikki, you're okay with this. Right?
Up to this point, I'm okay with this because she has a point.
She does, actually. I actually think it's a pretty good work.
Now, but before we read the last sentence, Tom, you still with us on this?
Yeah, I just got CPR after I died before the commercial. But
you're welcome.
Yes, thank you. There's someone here who's trying to keep me alive.
But, yes, yeah. But unfortunately, I am going to try to kill you again with the reply to this after she said,
"Oh boy!" This.
So stop whacking off, get out of mommy's basements, and get a real job, and for once, give us performers our privacy. Oh, that was fun. Which. If I may, sent our esteemed boss and sponsor, Mr. Brett Clandaniel, over the edge, and rightfully so. Nikki, take it away.
First, let me give you, first of all, he was actually very tactful to start. I'm going to read this. Tom, mm-hmm. I apologize if I kill you for this, but some of this is damn good. This is some damn good writing.
I'm awaiting with bated breath.
Okay. Brett said that last sentence does make me angry. I've had the chance to get to know some awesome wrestling journalists over the years. I can promise you 90% of them are not living in their mother's basement, and most actually work very hard for a living. I can't speak about the whacking off part.
Well, who among us can?
Right. Exactly.
Before we get too far off topic, let me continue.
Right.
I don't need to throw this out there, but I will. Mr. Clandaniel is 30 years old. He's been married for 5 years. He has a 2-year-old daughter. He works full-time at a Fortune 50 company and is making way more money than I am.
Way more money than all of us combined.
Pretty much. Bought a $200,000 house at the age of 24, completely overshadowing the fact that I'm still making payments on my car that I bought in March.
I'm still making payments on my iPhone.
Let's see. I do this because it is my true passion. I have missed family events, my daughter's dance classes, and called out of my real job too many times to stay home and cover important wrestling news. This is literally a hobby for me, but that doesn't mean I half-ass it. I know for a fact that people such as Camel Clutch Blog, WrestlingNews.com, WrestlingNews.net, Ringside Access, and WN Source. _Ben are great people and sites. We don't do this stuff to be rich or to win a fucking Pulitzer. We do it because it's a passion. We take time out of our actual lives to do this. Excuse me, I'm going to enjoy this next line. To hear some washed-up, drugged-up psychopath like Sonny generalize people like me and my hardworking counterparts is a fucking joke. I long for the day when Hall of Fame Sonny would learn a little something called humility. Wake up. The world of the fans don't owe you shit. And after all the craziest stories we've heard about over the past few years, now it's going to be even harder to separate the real stuff from the bullshit. Makes me wonder if she really had cervical cancer in prison. Or did she just do that for sympathy? Or when she lied about WWE paying for her rehab? or when she claimed her ex lured her into her home and into his home to beat her. Police reports mentioned that she was stoned out of her mind and she climbed up the balcony. We've covered this. Or when New Jack revealed that Sonny tried to hire him to murder one of her ex-boyfriends.
Not so, that New Jack wouldn't do it.
I'm just curious to his price. Anyway, moral of the story, those who live in glass houses with razor-thin panes should not be tossing stones. Sorry for clogging up your timelines, but I feel so much better now. I'm going to go back down in my mother's basement. I'm not finishing that statement because
no, you're not.
Apply.
No. 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 No, you're not.
Now, Jason, I know you gave him, you pretty much gave him a Twitter standing ovation for this.
I did. I basically said his, well, to the second part of the last line, I commented on it, and he said, "You're absolutely right, as long as it's not in my mother's basement." you know? No, but seriously, you know, look, and I'm going to use this term as best as possible. She's a narcissistic attention whore. That's what she is. And I don't mean – and I'm being very serious when I say it. That's all it is, okay? And it's incredibly sad because, look, there's a difference between trolling the internet like a Matt Hardy would do, okay? And Matt Hardy has learned his lesson, okay?
Yeah.
Hopefully.
Yes, but I'm just saying, you know.
He hasn't done it since. I'll give him that.
Right, exactly.
Well,
okay.
Yeah, that's called learning your lesson, Gene.
Right.
And, yeah, and it only took him 8 years to do it.
Yeah, but that's fine. But you know what? That's fine as long as you learned your lesson, okay? There's a difference between that and basically and also knocking all the people. Now, look, we're going to bring up competitors here, and at least I am, okay?
Okay.
And you know, there are people like Wrestling Observer, like PW Insider, like you know, like WrestleChat, who really are hardworking people. They really and truly are. They spend their lives doing this. You know, look, are there a lot of idiots who just copy shit and paste it and make shit up? Sure. But there
look at WrestleZone.
What?
Look at WrestleZone, for example.
Right. Okay. They make stuff up.
And Raja just pretends that they may or may not know what's going on.
Right, exactly. But what I'm saying is that don't disparage the baby with the bathwater here. And honestly, the fact that you, Tammy Sitch, as you know, a drugged up, washed up, never to be probably seen again in a WWE or any mainstream ring again, who has to go into independent ranks and have horned up desperate wrestling fans who will never get laid spoon in your bed for money? Really?
You know what? I don't actually have a problem with that. Whatever floats your boat.
I understand, but still.
No, you don't understand, Gene. She just lets the fans lie on her bed, and she just watches them. They don't get anything out of it.
You know what, though? If they want to spend their money on that, that's their prerogative. I would rather get laid.
So would I. Thank you so much. But
look,
but in her case, I would not recommend it because I have no idea what you guys would get.
Who said I was going to get laid with her now?
Okay.
But we keep
interrupting you, Jason. Go on.
But what I'm just saying is that this is a sad, desperate act to me. I'm disgusted, really, about this. That's all.
So, but yes, so that's about all the attention we're going to give her.
Seriously, though, it was a good work up until she devolved into calling us all, you know, basement-dwelling marks. Newsflash, Miss Sitch. I'm actually devoting my life to this fucking business. So you can go fuck yourself. Not that you need my prompt to do so.
And, go ahead, Tom.
Which leads me into something I haven't done in a long time. Let me explain real quick. I used to give away a fictitious award on either my Facebook or my Twitter page called the Go Fuck Yourself Award. Well, ladies and gentlemen, we have the first recipient of it in years, Miss Tammy Sitch, or what? Tammy, go fuck yourself. Although, quite frankly, I don't think you'd know what to do with yourself.
No, she'd probably need another dude for that.
Exactly.
You know what? No, no, I take it back. That's leading into slut-shaming territory. I'm not like that.
So, well then, actually, if she's going to get a Go Fuck Yourself award, do you think we should give her some place to go fuck herself in?
Yes, I think.
I think somebody needs to get roomed.
Tom?
Is that the door here? Is that the sound of an opening door?
Yes, and this is the sound of one closing, slamming shut on her ass.
And that's forever.
Good riddance. I can't do it. No, I'm not going to pony. I won't pony kick her, but you know.
No. It would probably be more like a Terry Funk thing. Forever. Forever.
Forever.
Well, maybe not forever until we get bored.
But yeah, so. But she's, you know, she has been disposed of. Take that any way you'd like.
And so we move on.
And we need to. How about a little financial curiosity?
Are we still talking about Sunny?
No, because she doesn't have any money. I'm going to talk about your favorite target gene, Nipple H.
Why not? Why the fuck?
Okay. Last week we had mentioned that Stephanie McMahon has been selling off her WWE stock. Now, at first it wasn't a big deal because the price was actually ticking upward. Then word got out that they were lowering expectations. So she made a tidy profit as the stock started to drop.
Well, nobody ever said she wasn't smart outside of the WWE.
Admittedly, but this is something inside that you're not supposed to be doing.
Well, I mean, like when it's not creative.
Okay, this wasn't very creative, and this could get her in a lot of trouble. Jason, this is more your forte.
Yeah, let me pull up my notes here, because I sent them to you.
Well, I can read what I have in front of me.
Well, no, I got it here. She has sold. Okay. She sold 5,468 shares on September 13th at 10:12, and another 14,516 on 9/16 for the price of $10, $9.99. The lower price came on Monday after we talked about this stuff, okay? After the market closed on 9/13, and she's netted over $200,000. But here's the interesting part. She has sold 1.5 million shares of the stock, okay?
Mm-hmm.
So let's say that's an average of $10 a share, just to make the numbers easy. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
What does she need $14 million for?
College for her three daughters.
Or just roll around in it. That's what I would do.
No. Seriously, though.
Who said I wasn't serious?
No. But I'm just saying, what does she need, or what does Triple H need, or does she? Or more importantly, what does she know that we don't?
See, Gene, since she works for the company, she knows a little bit more about what's going on in this business than your typical shareholder. So if something is coming up on the horizon that doesn't look good.
Like, for example, let's say, oh, the permanent shelving of the WWE network.
Are they finally gonna shoot that horse dead?
Which would be interesting. No.
I thought they did that months ago.
No, they're still. I thought they were still trying.
I mean, they stopped running ads for that, like, I don't know, April.
But there's that. Then there's the now, granted, this has been going on since May, but something else might have prompted her recently, like seeing the SummerSlam numbers.
Was the buy rate not that impressive?
Down almost 100,000 buys from last year.
Really?
Yeah.
Really?
295,000 buys for SummerSlam, which sounds awesome, doesn't it?
It's still a pretty good number.
But in 2012, they had over 350,000 buys.
That's true. But, I mean, it's not like they're going to get 300,000 consistently every year.
But, you know, it's just that is a huge drop. Usually their margin of error runs in the 10, 15, 25,000. We're talking 75 to 100,000 buys. That's a lot of cash.
Really? Because I thought SummerSlam was a pretty good pay-per-view.
So did I. But apparently they didn't put enough on there to... They didn't do enough to get Joe Casual Fan to put the money down. And with like 8 different ways to get the pay-per-view.
Did we mention the app 1,000 times? I think we did.
Well, I wasn't even gonna go there. I was just, you know, the fact that they went down this list, you know, you can call your cable network. You can watch it on, watch it on our YouTube channel. You can watch it through your PS3. You can watch it through,
Xbox.
Through a spyglass. Yeah. You can watch it on, if you have a smart TV.
Your sundial, yes. Through your Xbox.
So, you know, there's so many different ways you can actually get your hands on this pay-per-view.
You can watch it through your Ouija board.
Nice. Very cool. But yes.
I'm curious if you get a discount on that since there's no visuals. Anyway, but with all of this, you know, the fact that they've tried to make this their second biggest event outside of WrestleMania, and they apparently just could not get the same numbers that they got last year. Then they kind of shoot themselves in the foot again this past Sunday. You don't run up against yourself.
Total divas
is running while Night of Champions is on. I already know my decision, and yes, I paid money.
Actually, I'm confused as to why they run Total Divas episodes during pay-per-views.
Well, see, this is our conundrum. They ran the season finale this past Sunday, opposing their own pay-per-view.
Not a very smart business move, WWE.
No. And that might suffer on both sides because viewership dropped for Total Divas, and WWE had some idiots at a cable company giving their people money back.
I mean, is that... Like I said, I did not know that was a thing you can do. Maybe all the Silva fans should have gotten their money back after Weidman knocked them out.
I personally, you know, as somebody who remembers how boxing would dupe people into paying $50 for a pay-per-view that would last 5 minutes. It just boggles my mind. But, you know, we don't know who exactly to point the finger at in this case. Do we point it at WWE for not paying attention to their own schedules? do they point the finger at E for not accommodating and moving Total Divas up a week, knowing that they're going to put a second, you know, that they're doing a second quote unquote season? And no, I can't blame The Miz.
I can.
I could. But WWE did me the favor and put Miz and Orton in the same segment at the same time so that I had something to skip over with my DVR.
Uh-huh.
And I was making this joke during the break, but I'm going to make it on the air. I want to know what concert those two were at when Miz was conceived. Seriously. The Miz.
My money's on Grateful Dead.
My money's on, like, it's Aerosmith with a lot of pot. I mean, seriously. Sorry, Mike.
No. Taking a look at the dude with the beard, ZZ Top.
Oh, Skinner.
There you go.
So, yeah, Mrs. Parents concede that a Leonard Skinner concert. You're welcome for that mental image.
Actually, the chat room had a better one. Early 80s Aerosmith.
Oh, you mean before they got sober?
Yeah.
They got sober?
For a bit, yeah.
Well, that I'm. But then, this is Parents. We can't confirm or deny either way, which would explain how he turned out. hi.
And Josh, fuck you.
So. Oh goodness! What other nonsense do I have?
There was a let's see. I thought I had something there. Just give me a minute. We actually did have some comings and goings. WWE released three developmental people. Jesse White, Jesse White is the most famous one, the son of Vader.
Mm-hmm.
And there's an interesting rumor that was pointed out that while at the NXT tapings, Undertaker was there talking to the young talent, and Michelle McCool was there.
Hmm.
She might be rumored to be coming back for a WrestleMania 30 program.
No. 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 No.
Okay. Oh, come on, Gene. She's probably had enough time off that she's probably eaten at least one damn sandwich.
Yeah, but it doesn't stop her from being a black hole of charisma.
Hey, hasn't she had a baby, if I'm not mistaken?
At least one.
Yeah, so is Stephanie, and her acting's as wooden as ever. What's your point?
Oh, jeez. Okay, fine. Wow.
Woo!
Yeah.
I'm kind of flipping a coin about having Michelle McCool back. I probably would rather see Mickey James back first, or hell, I would like Maryse back on TV.
Really?
She was an effective heel.
Well, yeah, their in-ring work never really impressed me that much, but...
And she needs to get beat up by other women for what she sees, for whatever it is she sees in Miz.
Okay, yeah, that's a good point.
Because I think I know the answer, I just don't know how to say it in French. Oh, he makes me laugh.
Well, you know, hey, they're supposed to get married real soon, right?
I wonder if that wedding will finish.
You know, the fact that Miz is actually marrying Maryse should give me hope. But honestly, it just makes me feel even more depressed.
Oh, shit.
God, even Miz is getting laid. What is wrong with me?
You're not supposed to start the conversation with nice shoes you want to fuck.
Hey.
Wow.
I am a perfect gentleman when it's convenient for me.
Okay,
would
so
you please
say,
like to go fuck.
Yes, Carl. Yes, exactly, Carl. Yes. Wow. Oh wow!
Do you at least remember her name when you ask her the question,
Nikki? I seriously think we just need to plug because you can't top that, can you?
I don't think I can top that. I think I'm gonna have to call it a show because I don't believe we're no. Sorry, I killed you. I killed Tom. And Gene is protesting.
Game over, man. Game over.
Yeah, that's. I think that's what we're gonna do here. So let's go ahead and start putting this show to bed. So Muckamuck, get some sleep. Jason, please.
Tons of pluggage to do. First of all, got a plug, of course, Jim Williams and the fantastic Touch 'Em All Bri podcast, which is now in a weekly mode up until the October playoffs because we are in pennant chase mode and we have the crazy bunch of misfits and there's a bunch of them on a rotating basis there. Brian and myself will be covering Pixel Nation this week. Two major stories. One, the fact that Grand Theft Auto 5 in 3 days earned $1 billion worldwide. That is with a B, folks. Okay? That's nuts. And the more important thing is that one of the masterminds or the visionaries of Nintendo passed away this week at the age of 85. Basically, if you have been playing video games for the last 30 years and you have grown up on Nintendo, you know you have basically been affected your lives by this man. And finally,
Miyamoto?
Not Miyamoto.
Not Miyamoto. No, he's still pretty young. Hiroshi Yamauchi.
Okay. Yeah. I recognize that name, too. I'm sorry to hear that.
Yes. He passed away this week at the age of 85. And yes, I keep saying it, but we are doing it this weekend some way or another. I'm getting Ethan, I'm getting DC, and I'm getting Jim. And we've got to do the summer catch-up edition of the Red State, Blue State. And we just also finished the WLTI Live last week. And, of course, check out the WLTI Live extra of me interviewing the executive producer, Harry Friedman, talking about the 30th season of Jeopardy, and you can do that on Stitcher.com, Stitcher Radio, Player.fm. There you go. Done.
And I am also offended that you had never once invited me to an episode of Pixel Nation, Jason.
Oh, you want to come along? We were going to do it either tomorrow or Sunday. So,
just be careful. They have a censor filter.
Yeah, you can. Can you tone it down?
From the hours of 9 p.m. to 10 p.m., you will only hear the words ass, damn, hell, and bitch.
Gene, seriously, we may have to...
No, I can tone it down.
Oh,
okay.
Shit.
Crap.
There goes my fucking gimmick.
Yeah, I know, but we can work that out.
Moving on.
Tom, are you still with us? Or do you have anything to promote?
I don't know if I can top
that. Fuck me, Josh.
I don't think I want to try and top
If you think we had so much fun on this show, you got to realize that we are not that far away from episode number 300.
Wow.
Somehow we've gotten that far with the North American Wrestling Connection.
I better be on that fucking episode.
I'm going to try to get as many people on as I can, and we might actually. I am going to do my best to try to get some special guests for our 300th show, which will be sometime in November, not Thanksgiving week. We do not broadcast on Thanksgiving week because we know nobody's listening. But keep your fingers crossed and your eyes open and.
Actually, you know what? a very special thing will happen on Thanksgiving Day.
Oh?
Yes. I'll just leave it up to you guys to figure out what it is.
Does it involve a turkey baster?
Thank you, Mike Klaus. Oh, God. No.
It depends on how the night goes.
That's what she said.
Only the turkey baster might be a euphemism for my penis.
By the way, don't you have a star?
Okay, but you know what? You know what? Let me just plug my shit and then we can go.
Yes! Oh, God, Jim.
Is that code?
Oh, my.
Oh, my.
Shall I share it with the class? Because I think I need to.
Jump on and do it.
Well, considering that, you know, Sunny has whored herself out for lesser things, you can lay with her in bed for $50 and she'll get on top for $75 on Thanksgiving. The miracle of Thanksgiving. Sonny will baste your turkey in a fresh made out for $75.
Oh, God.
Let's look for another time until you baste yourself.
I'm tapping. Oh, God.
Finally, it took
tap.
All this time, and now Nikki will tap. I will end the show. No,
end the show, right. Kim, please.
Right. Moving on.
Go ahead, Gene, please.
All right. As I always do, I will plug the World of Unpredictable Wrestling, which will be hosting its September show, September Slambery Power. We apologize for the uncreative name.
Yeah.
It's going to be on the 28th. Going to be at Gleason's Gym. Tickets are $15, $10 if you're a kid. You can pay at the door or you can contact me. It's going to be a great show, and it's not a might. I will be there.
Oh.
Ooh.
Yes.
Very nice.
Indeed. And also, I am going to, of course, plug the Russell Crab Sports Digest, of which I am a full-time panelist. And I will also do something, plug something new.
Okay.
If you're in the NYC area and you need your technology repaired, whether it's phones or tablets or computers, you can come to iRepair. We're on 65 Broadway, Suite 837.
Huh. Very nice. We will keep this in mind.
Indeed.
I've actually taken over the damn show for once. This is awesome. Oh, wait a minute. I'm getting something in my headset. One second. Yes, this is breaking news. I don't know if we can hit the jingle for that or not. No, you know, we better not hit the jingle. Now in retrospect.
No, Jim. Sit back down before I have somebody ear rape you with a unicorn horn.
Oh, jeez.
She'll do that for 40, I hear.
Jim.
She's pretty cheap. She's pretty goddamn cheap.
And with that, Nikki, just close us off.
On behalf of go ahead, Nikki.
No, I was just going to say, if it was going to be anything, you know, at least get your money's worth.
Twyla, get my rope.
Hey!
She'll do that for free. Now,
ta-da!
I don't give a damn at this point. By
no,
the way,
God. No, Jim, shut the fuck up. You are stealing my spotlight.
Whoa.
Sit down, Gene. Jim?
No.
Sit the fuck down.
Fuck you guys.
Oh, no. I was just going to say, you know, Sunny, and I'll say this very sincerely, she's missing out on a truly golden opportunity, especially based off of what happened with Ring of Honor's stream tonight. She could live stream herself tweeting her fictitious bullshit and sell that on a stream that will crash like GFL.TV's will all night long. Just a thought. An iPay-per-view stream. Voyeuristic. She likes when people look at her scantily clad.
I hear Pornhub's looking.
man. Well.
We are going off on a fucking tangent.
I think this is the worst time to mention, don't listen to the BS Big Show because it sucked the last 2 weeks.
Well, hey, it didn't suck that bad. Speaking of things that suck, let's get back to Sunny.
That does it.
We're done.
We're
that
done.
We're out of here.
This
goodbye.
Is last New York City edition.
That'll take care of everything for the New York North American.
Actually, she
wrestling.
Blew from what I was told.
Oh, God.
Is her nickname Hoover? Oh. Can she blow and suck at the same time?
Well, no. Her nickname was Dyson because she has the proper amount of suction.
Now she has the real Beaver Stadium.
Oh, man. Oh.
That's it. Everybody out of the studio. We can't. Like, we have probably. We are.
Yeah, forget sausage. It smells like fish now.
Oh, my point.
Well, baby, I hear the clues are calling. Toss salad and scrambled eggs. Nikki Hammond is rage quit.
For Tom fucking Delgado, for Jason fucking Block, for Jim fucking Williams. This is Nikki fucking Hammond saying, "Get me the fuck out of here."
Don't say that F word too many times, Sonny might listen.
Shut the fuck up, Jim.
Bullshit. We have offended so many. We are going to. Oh, God.
Sorry, Brad.
Chad is officially de-sponsored the show.
Oh, my God.
Honestly, who gives a fuck? Goodbye, everybody.
At this point, nobody listens.
Good night.
Unbelievable, Tom.
That's all, fucks.
Oh.
You've been listening to a JWC Media produced program.